it down. Sit down. Okay, you can sit down now. Please be seated. Please be seated. Now, it's pretty obvious that I'm not there. I could be just out wandering around town having a good time like some of you do. I could be in Anguilla. Do you hear me? I could be in Anguilla. I could be in Nagano watching them ski. Or Madison Square Garden watching the All-Star Game. Oh, I could have just slept in, like a lot of you. But now that that's all said, I'm not in any of those places. To my surprise, I've always considered myself a giver of heart attacks, not a receiver. But on Friday night, starting about 3 p.m, after severe pains in my chest, having a friendly doctor come up to my house, do an EKG, we decided that there was enough risk. They wanted to send an ambulance, but I said no to that. We drove to the hospital, and sure enough, old Gene was having a heart attack. One of the main three arteries that heads up to the front of the heart was blocking the whole cluster. I had one of the best doctors in the city. He immediately, so fast I was hardly having time to think, recommended an angiogram, which showed the blockage, and then an angioplasty to take it out. So I went through that surgery, argued a little with the doctor that he wouldn't let me walk out as soon as it was over. Been arguing with the nurses ever since that they wouldn't let me leave. I considered a James Bond escape out the window. I told him that I had to preach Sunday at the cathedral. So, I have gone down to main doctors to even try, so we sent another doctor up to town. So I could talk to you for 3 minutes today. 3 minutes. Well, I've already gone 6 minutes, and I'm just getting started. So this service will continue. I'm going to preach. I've got security guards and everybody, told them if anybody even comes toward my room, tie them to the furniture outside, because I'm going to do this service. In faith, I intend to preach this morning, and I want the song, My God Can Do Anything. Okay, turning your Bible to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? Now, this is not a bad person. This is not a bad person. Feareth the Lord translates a word that is equivalent to trusting the Lord, respecting the Lord, not antagonistic or rejecting the Lord in any way. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Pretty good guy. Or woman. I wish you had a church fellow. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obey the voice of the servant? I think I do have a church full like this. These are the premium Christians. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? That happens. For a long time across this land, a suggestion has come from some who caricature God's word that when things go wrong in your life, it means that you have somehow drifted from God. And it's bad enough that you're walking in darkness and have no light, but the condemnation that comes from a sensitive soul being buffeted by Satan as an angel of light, that you're to blame for it, compounds the darkness and makes the matter so much worse. Now, I want this to be personal today. It is to me. Obviously, I'm preaching to myself. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Now let me give you the natural trait first. Skip down to the 11th verse. The natural trait of all of us, when we get into that darkness and no light, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks, start striking matches, start figuring in your own ingenuity how to remove the darkness. In other words, we're talking about knee-jerk, habitual patterns of action. When the darkness comes, the first thing we're going to do is grab the matches, the human elements. Do what we can do to solve the problem. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Now it seems cruel that someone who serves the Lord, fears the Lord, obeys the voice of his servant, finds himself in darkness and no light, seems cruel that he should be punished for striking a match. But we're talking about emphasis here, first actions. We're talking about what the Bible's full of. Moses, who was destined by God to deliver his people, but he set out to do it in his own strength. It took him 40 years to gain a hesitation to where he would go only when God pulled him or God trusted him, or leaning on God instead of his strength. Jacob spent a lifetime, the destined one that God intended to have his blessings. Even in the New Testament, Paul says concerning God, while they were in the womb, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. God would have taken him to his place of blessing, but he had that jump in first tendency to do it in his own strength. Now, many times, as I've looked at this verse of Scripture over the years, I've said, when you are following the Lord, obeying the voice of His servant, and all of a sudden things go wrong, shove the matchboxes a little out of reach so that it's not so easy for you to start flaying around to deliver yourself with no thought of God. It's a matter of emphasis and first act that we're talking about. God's not against us keeping our powder dry, so to speak, or doing things that we can do, but when you have feared the Lord and obeyed the voice of His servant, and all hell breaks loose on you, pause long enough to take a fix on God rather than your own instruments of deliverance. God may have you even use your matches under His control later, but keep the fleshly matches enough out of reach that you got to pause before you start flailing around to deliver yourself when you first get in trouble. That's the negative. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Not the best way to go. Go back to the 10th verse. Who's among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. That word trust is kind of unique. There are two words most often translated trust in the Old Testament. One is to run to the shelter of a rock or a mother bird's wings. The other is to lean on a staff, for example. But this one is unique in that it means to throw one down upon his face, lie extended on the ground, a total thrusting of yourself and the posturing which creates the figure of there's no help anywhere else I'm going to look to. Throw one down upon his face and lie extended on the ground. Now that's what it's saying when it says let him trust in the name of the Lord, because you got to pause and think about the name of the Lord. God's name, every Bible scholar knows, is a revelation of his nature. In the earliest books of the Bible, we have a low hymn. God High and Mighty is the name. And we have attachments to that name. God Almighty and God the Highest. But when Moses was chosen to lead his people out, God came to him and said, by my name Jehovah, I will be revealed unto you. And you have heard me many, many times, heard me testify in talking to you of how the name Jehovah is almost impossible to communicate. You have to use a figure to do it. And the figure I've used is to take a hose and pinch the hose until the water pressure builds up behind the hand, and then as you release the pressure, the water will squirt out, having been held back. That creates an impression of a force that's being contained, waiting to be released. The word Jehovah carries that meaning with itself. It's God as portraying himself like a hose of water, with the richness of his nature being held back, waiting to be released. And it's always with specifics. He specifically five ways in which, to keep the analogy going, this water would go and reach to us. I made a study of the names of Jehovah, because by my name Jehovah, he said he would be revealed to his people. We are his people. And he, again and again, finds a circumstance where his nature is brought forth, and he either names himself or he acts in such a way that his nature is so revealed, the recipient names it. I could go through all the illustrations, but I'm going to stick to the names. Say your problem and your darkness today is finance. Say you've gone every direction, you've served God, you've paid tithes, and you're going broke. You can't seem to get on your feet financially. And you're running around, kindling the fire, striking matches, trying everything you can do. Maybe you ought to go home today and get on your face before God and claim the promise, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. That name leaps forth at a time when Jacob, or rather when Abraham was taking his son to the mountain to offer him as a sacrifice. And they said, his son said to him, we have the fire, we have everything else, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, the Lord will provide. And there hung in the woods and the bushes was a ram to take the place of Isaac. That's a pretty desperate situation of faith. Abraham had said at the bottom of the hill to his servants, we will return, as he took his son to sacrifice him, because he had the faith that God, if he sacrificed him, would raise him from the dead. But he didn't have to raise him from the dead. The Lord provided. And again throughout subsequent history, that name of Jehovah was called upon when provision was needed. Let's say you're full of anxiety and you don't know which way to turn. I can just preach names out of the Old Testament and have no meaning. Or if you can understand the linkage to Jehovah, there's a specific kind of linkage to God's nature that wants to be. You don't have to talk him into it. This is his nature waiting to be released. But say you're full of anxiety and uncertainties and you are full of tension and don't know where to turn. Let him call the trust. Fall yourself onto this. Let him trust in the name of the Lord, Jehovah Shalom. He can be your peace. I've talked for many weeks now of the life of God coming into us as we trust him. He can bring his peace. And his instruments of help, the angels, will keep you, as the New Testament says, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Take my condition today. I've whispered it many times. Right into the hospital. In the hospital, the doctor said to me, the Lord is good to you. When we checked downstairs in emergency, you had a total blockage. By the time you got up here, it's only 90% blocked. So the Lord helped you out. I was whispering all the time, Jehovah Rapha, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. And this is a statement of his nature. He first said it to the Israelites when they were embittered and complaining because of the waters that were bitter as they had left the Red Sea. God showed Moses the water and it was bitter and they complained and he showed them a tree and sweetened the waters. Then he said to them, if they would walk in his commandments and do as he said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. But it's a statement of being, not an add-on action. It was wherever God is, he's a healing kind of God. I remember being called a famous biophysicist at the University of Minnesota one year. That asked me to come in and pray for him. He had a blockage in his stomach. And when I went in, he was saying to me, being the logical man he is, I've been trying to find a reason why God could heal me. And I said to him, Fred, God doesn't need a reason other than himself. He's a healing kind of God. When you trust him, it's what he wants to be. It isn't something that you have to work him into a desire for him to do. You have to recognize this is part and parcel of God's nature. Wherever he is, he's a healing kind of God. So if you need healing, as I do today, trust in the name of the Lord. The names just roll on. Jehovah Sid Canu. This church has taken a stand against the traditions of men. That you don't have to be righteous yourself to be accepted of God. While we were yet sinners and while we were ungodly, Christ died for us. God takes us as we are. But as you come closer to God, there is the ever-present build-up of a desire to be better than we are and aware of our shortcomings. Whatever righteousness we ever have, it comes from Him. And Jehovah wants to be our righteousness. When He brings His nature in us, maintained, it will bring forth the fruits of righteousness. He and He alone can change us into His nature. Anything we do is self-righteousness. So if you're beaten down with guilt today about some sins, secret or otherwise, let him trust in the name of the Lord. In your darkness of guilt, Jehovah Sid Canu can be your portion. If you're in a struggle, in a fight, all of us have to fight bureaucrats, IRS, hospitals. Not everybody that comes in my room gets to come back again. And Jehovah Nisi, that's our banner. When you go to war, you can count what they have and what you have, and they'll leave out Jehovah. The Lord is our banner. He fights for His people. He goes ahead of you, gets on the corner before you get there. You can count on Him in whatever struggle. If you think you're about to lose some major struggle and your heart is right because you fear the Lord and you obey the voice of His servant, don't expect God to do things even though it's His nature unless faith tunes in and you ask Him. You need to trust in the name of the Lord. The Lord is my banner, is yours available at your side, new troops on the field, Jehovah. You don't know what to do next. You don't know where you're going or you're in decision time. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. It's His nature to lead. I preached a few weeks ago, commit thy way unto the Lord. He's the shepherd. He may not lead you the way you want to go, but trust Him. When you trust in Jehovah Rohi, He's going to lead you His way. And then Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Wherever we are, all these other elements of His nature, Jehovah the Provider, Jehovah our Peace, Jehovah our Healer, Jehovah our Righteousness, Jehovah our Banner, Jehovah our Shepherd, Jehovah Shammah is the certainty He's there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always present wherever we are. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Now, you can count on this, but I'm taking it one step further before I finish. Not only are we to trust in the name of the Lord, it then says, stay upon His God. I have talked many, many times about the church being the Lord's, not ours. The church is a people that belong to the Lord. I've talked about how we tend to personalize and change the words of ancient Christianity into self-serving words. But here's one case where it's legitimate. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Find the name that fits your circumstance and stay. And in that case, it's lean support. It's the word for trust that is to lean on something. Lean upon His God. In other words, of all the Jehovah expressions, enough to fit our every need. When you find the one that fits your need, I know what mine is today. There have been times I need Jehovah Jireh, provision, I need peace, righteousness, banner, shepherd. I know what my need is today, my particular darkness, I need His healing. Then the order is, let Him trust in the name of the Lord and stay. Drop anchor, if you will. Lean on the one that meets your need. Don't try to take all of these names and make them fit where you are. Each of us have different needs. Some will go out of here realizing that once again you've been reminded Jehovah Jireh can provide. Others will go out of here being reminded the Lord is a shepherd. And follow His leading. I'm ending this message reminding myself, Jehovah Rophi. It's His nature to heal. I'm counting on it as you pray with me and I pray. I'm going to stay upon my God, which is why I'll be out of here in a couple of days. And my enemies better watch out, because I'm going out of here with more strength now than I came in. That's my message for today. It's offering time again. I want you to take this message serious, apply it to your heart where it's needed. It's really so simple. You just find that name of God which expresses what He wants to be to His people and camp out on the one that meets your need. I've told you the one I'm camping out on. I'll be looking at you, I'm sure, one night this week, because I'll be out here in a couple of days. In the meantime, be faithful to the voices of faith and your regular work and commitments for the week. And as we take this offering, I want the song Amazing Grace, and good day to all of you.